Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good morning,
Hi, Hank. We're talking about mathematics, and this time through a different connection, so the sound would be different than we've had till now. And in mathematics, we're discussing. You have a lot of noises on the background there. In mathematics, we're discussing the possibility to use the language of music to understand the communication between cells in our body. I'd like to tell you about a conversation I had yesterday with somebody who asked me to explain how dreaming and lucid dreaming works. In part of that story, I was using the principles of mathematics, somewhat implied, but I thought it would be very helpful to bring out those principles of mathematics as they apply to dreaming, because the funny part was that in explaining how lucid dreaming works, I actually needed to explain how a laser device works. That, of course, then connects to the reason why we are doing this study of mathematics, because the whole purpose of mathematics is to find a way to understand how the communication in the quantum field takes place. Because if we are ourselves electromagnetic fields in different degrees of density, then the universe around us is an electromagnetic field in different degrees of density, and the interaction between us two is an electromagnetic field with different degrees of density. So we cannot really tell them apart very well. And by the way, just to recapitulate, the different degrees of density are because in physics there is this understanding that a photon leap will trigger an electron leap within an atom, which can then lead to an electron oscillation linking two atoms, forming molecules, which can then result in electron bonding of atoms, forming matter. So the different degrees of density of matter are actually different states of the bonding of electrons in the electromagnetic field. So the 1, 2, 3, 4 is that the photon is in the zero dimension, the electron is in the one dimension of the energy, the electron oscillation is in the two-dimensional time wave, and the electron bonding results in the three-dimensional space structures. So yes, definitely, it's all in there. Let me continue with this understanding of mathematics, looking into the music in the body rather than the electromagnetic field. The reason is that if you have electromagnetic fields interacting, you cannot tell them apart. If you would look at the level of the light field, for example, you will have two colors of light, and when they combine, you have a new color. You do not see the original colors anymore. So yes, you can see that something happens, but you cannot trace it back to what happened. So in the electromagnetic fields, you cannot tell the fields apart. In the light fields, you cannot tell them apart after the event. In a material field, just to skip the sound field for a moment, in the material field, you do not come to an interaction because the physical field, when you look at the physical field only, you actually do no longer see the electromagnetic field interactions. So the whole electromagnetic field seems to fall from view, which is basically where regular medicine misses out on not seeing that cell communication includes all of the physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and light field interactions. So that's why.
When water comes with soil, and you get mud.
Yeah, so you need to go deeper than the interface of mud, where you have the material and the fluid. You need to look beyond the space and the time components, which defines the mud, into the energy and consciousness component, which would be the air and light aspects. And in sound, you get into that, because in sound, when you have one sound field and you have another sound field, or when you have one note or tone and another tone or note, then they combine into the subharmonic and the superharmonic. So you have the two notes that are being played, and you also hear the effect between them. That effect was something that came up very explicitly in explaining how lucid dreaming works. That talk is recorded somewhere else, so people can find that on cloud.holoversity.eu in the lectures, specifically in the section on interviews. Interviews. And what I was trying to explain there is that when people look at dreaming and lucid dreaming, it is easier to look at daydreaming and editing daydreams. But actually, it is more practical to look at thoughts and editing your thoughts, thoughts editing. Actually, for me, it would be most important to look at life and life editing. A lot of people have difficulty in life editing because they're doing things, but they discover that much of what they do is being done by reflex. That's a bit noisy on the background.
It's not your scenario.
It's your reflection. So that's also what the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Egyptian Book of the Dead formulate. And as it is put in the American Book of the Dead, if you don't know if you're in Bardo, then certainly you are in Bardo. And that would translate nowadays that if you're not aware that you're operating by reflex, then decidedly you will be operating by reflex. That's that section which I described in The Science of Life, in the essays on the bones of belief. That when we have freedom of choice, we can create decisions by which we polarize the interface in the environment. As a result, our inner world will define itself in a specific internal way, which we call our belief. And then our cells will act on that in our reflex behavior. So from freedom of choice to the decision, to the belief, to the reflex, we will always create repetitions of what we are doing, by the simple reason that when in the pineal gland we have this flash of insight, as a result of which we reposition ourselves within our environment, to which the hypophysis then responds, pituitary gland, which then uses the neurons and the hormones to redefine our setting into our environment, basically polarizing the surface of the body in the same way that the egg polarizes at the moment that the contact with the sperm has been made after the sperm has been selected in the fertilization process. And so at the next level then, the sperm goes into the egg, and the hypercompressed DNA of the sperm meets the hyperextended DNA of the egg cell. And that leads to an internal dynamic, which in us is then the internal dynamic of the beliefs, the internal metabolism, the metabolomes, the internal organic circulation of what we feel or think that we feel. In that level, which is described by astrology as the astral plane, and which in biology you would call the organ level, which in antiquity would be called the level of the gods. So the Olympus is actually this cycle of the organs together maintaining the blood, feeding into it. Some cells, some organs being more on the outside, some being more on the inside. In every instance, having an external and an internal organ, for example, the liver and the gallbladder, or the kidney and the bladder. And so that the gods of the Olympus are that level of internal dynamic, which we can correlate to the sperm having met the egg and our DNA matching up with each other, tuning into each other. And on the other hand, in the situation that in the organs, we digest our experience, which is that whole level where in mountain music, and we are seeking for and finding out that we can actually use the language of music to understand what's going on at that level. And that the organs themselves complement each other like the notes in an octave. And that as a result, we can understand how music can help us realize how the organs tune into each other and how the organs position themselves with respect to each other. That then leads to a specific setting of the organs, like tuning an orchestra. And out of that comes the performance, which we then see by the cells acting by the reflex level, doing things in our environment. And so what I'm describing just now is the core of mathematical music, that yes, we can use the understanding of music to see how the organs work together. From the notation of music, we can see that there are different key settings for the organs. Actually, it would be not that one note is decisive for the composition of the music, but more specifically that one organ is dominant in the cycle of the blood flow, which is together being maintained by all those organs. And that from that perspective, we can see that it is actually the same as what in antiquity was described by the gods playing around with each other and trying to be dominant. So once you understand that the stories of the mythology of the Greeks of which God is dominant is actually a recapitulation of the understanding in the body of which organ is dominant, which then is a reinterpretation of the relationship between health and disease. Where is one organ dominating all of the other organs instead of them all being in balance with each other? And then in music, you would put it at the level of how can we go from one key of dominance to another key of harmony? And while I was describing that about the dream and dream editing, I needed to combine all these things that we have already discussed with this relationship of freedom of choice and reflex building, which I just mentioned before. And that actually is that same level of the photon jump, the electron jump, the electron oscillation, electron bonding, actually from the light field to the energy field, to the chemical field, to the physical field. Because at that level, we can see how the music goes more solid or more etherical. And in our body, of course, that is what we see in the cells creating a more physical body or a less physical body. And actually, this was first described by Hans Schlei, often pronounced Hans Schlei. He did the research on the endocrine system and specifically described how the corticosteroids and the mineralos corticosteroids, the glucocorticosteroids and the mineralocorticosteroids, have an effect on the body, which is normally called that of inflammation and inflammation suppression. So the glucocorticosteroids, or the glycocorticosteroids, as the Americans would say it, are sugar-based, and that is plant-based. That is what the glyco component, the glyco component, refers to. While the mineralocorticosteroids are mineral-based. So this is the description of how the cells actually govern the relationship between the body being more like a mineral or being more like a plant, that is being more like a state in space or being more like a process in time. So the inflammation promoting hormones dissolve the body membranes so that the body becomes more fluid, very literally. And the inflammation reduction hormones are the ones which affirm the boundaries in the body. And so when doctors use the corticosteroids to suppress an inflammation, they're actually freezing a situation into the body, but that might not necessarily mean that they have frozen the body in the position that it actually needs to have. And Chinese medicine is quite aware of that. So there is this need to understand that when you use the corticosteroids, you actually need to know in which phase of the inflammation process is the body working. Because the body has just accelerated the music. It went, so to say, in the inflammatory gypsy music, so that the cells can work with something that is being processed in the body. And that could be microbes or virus, or it could be a thought or an anger, which needs to be processed out of the body. So the body has, in a way, created a kind of diarrhea into the whole body, which we then call an inflammation. But we need to understand that when the body produces this diarrhea, it is for a very good purpose. And we need to help the body get rid of whatever it needed to get rid of, rather than to use the Imodium and block the diarrhea before we have washed out whatever parasites infested the gut. So at that level, we can then see that this whole dynamic of inflammation and inflammation reduction in our body is used in a very specific manner, which in Mata music we can understand as the acceleration of the music, a kind of Doppler shift upwards to the higher frequencies, and the calming of the music, a Doppler shift downward to the more continuing wavelength in the music. And this, by the way, is of course exactly what is being described in Chinese medicine when they reset the point of contacts where we connect to the environment, as a result of which they can put the body into a more receptiveness towards the environment. As a result, it would connect more into the environment, as opposed to other points by which the body is sort of closed off more from the environment and goes to a more relaxed state or a more internal state. So again, that's the inflammation promotion and inflammation suppression. In terms of music, it would be the excitation of acupuncture or the calming of acupuncture. So once you see that all of these principles are related and interrelated, you can then come more to the understanding of what's happening at that level where you need to reset the body to speed it up a bit more or to calm it down a bit more, which is of course what is done in acupuncture, because the fundamental treatment of acupuncture is that somebody goes to the acupuncturist at the turning of the season, because as the season turns, say from summer to winter, the body needs to close down from being open in the summer to being self-contained in the winter. You need to be in energy saving mode. Sometimes the body just misses the turn and it is still at a setting of being too high, and that would mean that in the winter you would lose your energy, exhaust the body, and get prone to dying or getting diseases. The other way around, when from winter towards summer at the turning point of the season you missed a turn, you would be turned in too much in the seasons of the summer. Your internal body process would disconnect you from the environment and from other people. You would be too introvert. You would not be able to respond to the things that are happening outside. You would still be in a state of depression.
Spring depression.
Yes, and so the spring depression just means that you are still wintering. You have not increased your music to the faster beat of summer yet. So the acupuncturist then comes in and resets the point so that you're retuned to the season and the rhythm of the day. And so those kind of things, we have not spoken up this explicitly as yet in Mathe Music. We did address some of it in health and healing, but now I can connect it to this story of dream and dream editing, which actually is a story of beliefs and changing your beliefs, which is also the relationship between a fixed state, I say, where the inflammation reduction hormones are fixing the borders of the body more and more, versus the excited states where the inflammatory hormones are actually dissolving the relationship in the body. And so suddenly this story of inflammation increase and inflammation reduction is the same as the story of dreams and dream editing. As I mentioned before, it's much nicer to look at the level of daydreaming and editing your daydreams. But for some people, that's too remote. They have difficulty going into these alpha levels of the mind so that they can relax enough and be conscious in the daydreaming, or even go deeper into their vibrational state, enter into the sleep cycle deeper, so that they can go to the theta brain waves, because that's actually what we do in meditation, or we would do in the sleep cycle. In the sleep cycle, we go from being connected to the outer world, the sensory impression on the surface of the skin, in which we operate in the brain at the beta brainwave levels. Then, when you close the eyes, most of the input from the outside world is reduced. With a bit of training, you can actually ignore what happens outside of you, and then you're on the internal body level of realization, which is associated with the alpha brainwave patterns. When you are used to doing that, you can actually bypass or ignore all these things that you can feel in your body, the breathing, the heartbeat, the tingling on the skin, and so on. And you can go to that deeper level where you actually have the afterflow of the digestion of your internal processes. And so you see the digestion of your experience at the emotional level, which is the organ level. And so beta is the environment, alpha is the body, theta is the organ level. And then you can actually operate at that level of the gods of Greek antiquity and Roman antiquity, also the gods of the Indians and the deities or forces of the Chinese. So you are then actually at the level that you can converse with the gods. For example, if you're angry, instead of expressing the anger, or instead of understanding that you're angry, you actually can get to the source of the anger and see where the mismatch took place between your expectation and what happened in the environment. And then you can see that you are actually exerting an energy, you were, so to say, in summer gear, trying to bring things in motion, while in the environment something was stuck. It was in winter gear and couldn't move. And so the energy between you and the environment started to accumulate. And in terms of the music would have gone louder because it cannot go anywhere. And that is what we then experience as anger. And so once you know that at that level of the organs, at the theta brainwave level.
It's a brilliant explanation, Otto. I'm always
Hmm.
looking for this kind of explanations
Yeah.
to understand you.
Yeah, it fell in place. Thank you. So what happens for anger? The Chinese and the Indians and the Greeks and the Romans understood that and realized that you need to do that for all of these emotions, which are all of the organs, which are all of the notes in the musical scales. And so in Mathe Music, we can address that then. And more important, we can also see that once you start to do that, you can correlate your internal state to the external state by changing the internal dynamic to again match the external dynamic, because we are the more flexible, so we need to in our body adapt to the circumstances rather than hope or wait and pray and use magic to get circumstances to adapt to us. That doesn't work. You can retune yourself, which is what Nata Music is about, retuning of the symphony of the orchestra in the body. So once you see that, then you can also understand how in the body you can have an idée fixe, a belief, a dysfunctional belief, which just doesn't work, and then you need to change it. And so that's where the story of dream editing, the question which I got on dream editing was very helpful, because by understanding that in dream editing you need to actually dismantle your belief, then you can also see that in dreaming you really need to be able to go into this internal state that you are aware that you are dreaming. And for a lot of people that's difficult, because they are not aware that they are editing whatever they do all the time. So when you look a level more superficial in daydreaming, and most often people are aware that in daydreaming they can be distracted more, and that there are other influences which help them look at the daydream differently, and they might also be more aware that in daydreaming they're actually digesting something which they have just experienced before, or something that they have heard just before. That they are just listening to the digestion of the experience. And I prefer to do it at the level of consciousness. So I seek out a topic which I want to explore, just as we are doing in Math and Musics. And then when we have the topic on the table, we sort of pull it apart like you're trying to untie a knot. And that's what we are doing in our explorations of Math and Musics. We have my perspective, your perspective, and then we untie from two different sides, and suddenly we see this knot open up again and more and more and more. And so over the years we have seen not just that Math and Musics works, but also how it works, and now we're getting very much closer to the machinery of why it works. And in a bit I will come to the core of that machinery in the laser projection devices at work in the cells, in our organs, in our body, in our life. And so just to come back to this unraveling of beliefs, when we have an idea and we look at it, you can write the story or rewrite the story, you can make a painting and make a new painting of it. And in that sense, whatever traumatic experience you have had, you can always bring it to a happy ending. It's just a matter of realizing that you need to digest it, and you need to look at it, and you need to know that whatever happened is something in the past. It is not fixed, it is only in memory. Yes, it happened, but it's often not real because it's not present. So you need to look into the refrigerator where you stored that traumatic experience. And that refrigerator most people call hell. You must not be scared to touch the refrigerator, and sparks will fly when you try to touch the refrigerator. That's traditionally called purgatory. Because, of course, if you try to freeze something in your body, again think of the anti-inflammatory drugs, but you need to sort of isolate that frozen thought, that frozen belief, that traumatic experience in the body, then you need to have an inflamed state around it. Again think of the inflammatory drugs. So The frozen state is the hell state, the inflammatory state surrounding it is the purgatory state, and that actually is what Bjorn Nordenstrom found in his radio photography of the lungs where cancer patients would have a nodule in their lungs, but a region around it of polarized water. So that's an excellent example of this hell state surrounded by the purgatory state. And when you read the work of Rieke Geert Hamer, then you can see that the cancer is a nodule of a traumatic experience, and that it is locked in the body by a protection buffer section, which would be that flaming area of purgatory. And in our experience, we would look back at the memory, which is painful, and first we would feel the emotions of that locked-in memory. So first all these emotions fire up, like some of these pieces of music where a whole cacophony of noises comes up, a bit like Dies Irae of Verdi, where suddenly this enormous drum session comes in and you really shake awake. I actually use it as an alarm clock to wake up in the morning. Really nice. And then, so when you approach a traumatic event, you will first run into this protection layer, which is like this cacophony of noises, this flurry of unresolved emotions, because in a way, there is a kind of internal cycle of digestion of the organs localized around this traumatic experience, but it cannot resolve itself, which is where kinesiology has a very neat approach. It connects up to that, reconnects it to the organ cycle, as a result of which that local, say, digestion process can connect up to the larger digestion process. They mesh up, and then that traumatic experience can be digested. So that is then how we can look into a traumatic event, or how we can pick up an idea and sort of turn it around one way and the other, basically activating the metabolic cycle or invoking the gods of the Olympus, or pleading with the deities of India, whatever you want to call it. You're actually just using your brain and the different sectors of the brain, which correspond with the different organs in the body, as some of them are more looking at the outside world, some of them are doing the complement looking at the inside world. So all of these organs are dual. There's always two complementary parts. And all of the organs together make this cycle, in fact, a Möbius loop, in which the internal circulation is connected to the external circulation. So once you understand that, then you realize that you need to connect up the internal circulation to the external circulation, as is done by acupuncture, as is done with naturopathy. And then you can also understand that in dream editing, or in the elaboration of thoughts like we are doing, we can actively re-edit the beliefs. But the re-editing of the beliefs, and this is the neat part, and this sort of builds towards the conclusion of my findings of yesterday, the rebuilding of the beliefs is part of that cycle of we have freedom of choice, then we take a decision, then we make a belief, and then we put it into action by reflexes. Those are the same four dimensions as we have when we have a sensation. We have a sensation on the surface of the body from a sensory cell. It then goes into a neuron. It then goes into a plexus, and it then goes into a brain. And so we start with the cell, which is a point. We continue in the neuron, which is a line. We then go into a plexus, which is a plane. It's like a tissue, like a cloth being woven of lines, of threads. And then it goes into the brain, which is a volume. But the realization that I had is that the coding which is used in that sensory process... Hank, there's a lot of noises on your side there. It's a bit disruptive.
Yeah.
So when you realize that the sensory cell works with the charge discharge, which was actually the core of the work of Nikola Tesla, then when the charge discharge in the cell goes into the neuron, the neuron is actually not one cell. On the inside, it appears to be one cell, just like the new trains have the inside all connected, while the wagons are separate. So in the neuron, on the inside, it seems to be all connected, but on the outside, there is still wagons. Those are called the Reinier's nodes. So when this charge discharge of the cell goes into the neuron, this big explosion, people would call it the Big Bang, it's actually charge discharge, is then turned into a rhythm, like a drum beat. And that then goes into the plexus, where suddenly you have multiple drum beats, so it starts to go into a buzz, and then it goes into the brain, where all these rhythms come together, and they form this buzz, this hum, which is called the Om in India. And the neat part of this is that by this description, we can suddenly connect that description of India to the understanding which we have in mathematics and in physics, because at this level, we are actually describing the process of a laser device. In the laser device, you have a spark, which is that same spark as takes place in the sensory cell. Then that spark is caught between two mirrors, which is the same as in the neuron. It goes from one cell to the other, one cell to the other, one cell to the other. Which in mathematics you would call that charge discharge, a Dirac pulse in the cell. And this rhythm, this pulse rhythm in the neuron, you would call the Fourier code, because it is a frequency pattern. And when it goes into the plexus, where all these neurons feed into each other and bounce back onto each other, you get the same principle as when you have one T-cell over another, you get the Moiré pattern. And in the Moiré pattern, you can amplify differences in the grid of the rhythms of the neurons. So in the plexus, you can actually already sort out what is different in one part of the body from another. And actually the retina in the eyes are an example of that too. So in the retina, that process takes away, sort of straight away, it's the first process that happens. That what is seen by one optical cell is immediately compared to what happens in another optical cell. So there's a very short neuronal pattern, and the plexus is processing it straight away. And that process of the Moiré pattern in the laser device is what you do when you tune the mirrors. And so you have one mirror which is fixed, the other mirror which you can move up and down a bit. And that moving up and down a bit is why, how you can get that charge discharge from the sensation, from the new impulse, from the Dirac pulse, bounce between one mirror and the other, like the Fourier code in a neuron, passing on from one side to the other. And then by tuning the frequency, and we were talking about that with the comma of Pythagoras. So suddenly we are at the level of the comma of Pythagoras being the tuning of the one mirror with respect to the other. And if you do the tuning right, and if you capture the wave reflecting from the one mirror into the wave reflecting on the other, connecting back to the one, if you capture the wavelength properly, then whatever is happening within your plexus can get out of that laser device, because the insight which you have created, that spark of light, as you have reflected on it, and as you have reflected on your reflection, that suddenly can extend and go out through the laser device into the universe. And suddenly we then have that understanding that we can go from the sensation that we have, the choice that we have, we then have the decision that we make. The pulse goes into the neuron, or the freedom of choice is turned into a decision. We create a mirror, and then we mirror it back in our body into the system of beliefs, where we can actually tune the wavelength of that signal in the organ cycle, in the what's called the Chinese clock or the zodiac. We can actually calibrate how the idea feeds back on itself, and we can make it stable, and we can make it coherent, and we can make it a reality in itself, which means we need to get rid of all the noise, and we need to bring it to coherence. This is called the distilling process of alchemy. And so when you get rid of the noise and you make it to a pure signal, the sound has become laser-like, then whatever you have realized within you can go out into the universe, and you're a beacon of coherence for the universe. And this is actually the foundation of the GOD principle. You generate that mirror, you operate the mirror, and then you basically destroy the mirror by having created a light signal which is stronger than the mirror that you created. You've created idea which is stronger than the belief system that you operated by. You broke through your belief system. Suddenly you reconnect to the universe as a whole. And then your inner light goes out and you're enlightened. You're enlightening. And that brings me to the end of my exploration, as I wanted to tell it to you. Because suddenly, by talking about the dream tuning, I realized that this is actually the same principle as is used in the tuning of a laser, but this is actually the same as we are talking about all the time in the tuning of the music. But in fact, what we are doing is the tuning of our consciousness. We are doing the interplay between reality, say the dream, and the realization, say the dream editing. And as I mentioned before, it's not about the dream or the daydream or the thought, but it's about our life. And so this is the principle by which we can use the principle of music to understand how in our life we can tune our life, that we live with intent, that we live not only experiencing the what we are into, but that we are actually looking at what's happening by this laser principle while we do it. So this is where I would like to conclude my finding of yesterday. And I'm really glad that I could now tell it to you, because so many of the things which we were talking about before can now suddenly be connected to, as I said, on the one hand, the fertilization process of the cell and the equivalent process of tuning a hologram, a laser into a hologram. And I would very much like if next time you could give me the feedback on the story of today and describe it from the perspective of music. So I'll just...
I need to listen it again, because it was quite a vast thing to comprehend, and lots of things in it.
Yeah, I think that I will need to do that too, because everybody might need to do that, because this is really a breakthrough from connecting consciousness to physics, to mathematics, to biology. So suddenly it all falls in place, and math music can deal with it.
And neurotherapy and so on.
Yeah. So shall we pick up the implications of it next time, that I end the recording for now? And I hope that you can call me back then. We can evaluate before you go and do your other things.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.